Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Emily Palmer, and I'm your host and producer of the talk show Turning Heads, right here on UMFM 101.5. So I just wanted to start off by saying thank you to everyone who has reached out and shown their support for the start of this show, and ultimately the support that was received for my first show that aired last Monday. The support has been overwhelming, and I'm honestly so grateful to have this opportunity to speak about such a broad category. With my guests, I've already learned so much about acknowledging those societal expectations to be perfect and really unpacking where those societal expectations are engineered. So just getting right to it, on today's episode, I am joined by Giovanna Menena, the creator of Browse by G and Life Coach. Thank you so much for being here today, Giovanna.
Thanks for having me.
So just to start, can you just give us a little bit of a background of your business and like what you've been up to lately?
Absolutely. So I have 3 businesses on the go right now.
Okay.
One is Browse by G, which has to do with everything eyebrows and cosmetic tattooing. So we help people shape, tint, define their brows. We help people who have no eyebrows by our cosmetic tattooing. We also help people with scalp restoration. So if they're balding, areola, and we do scar revision. So if people have scars on their bodies, we can actually help to camouflage those as well. A sister company to that I started is a company called Browlux, and that is a precision brow pencil that is basically a perfect shade match to any undertone, skin tone, hair color, you name it, we can match a person. And so that's a company that's been launched and doing really well. And then I also have my personal brand where I help coach and mentor young entrepreneurs, any entrepreneur, somebody starting a business. And I like to like educate and help people grow within themselves.
Okay, amazing. Mm-hmm. So for your life coaching like sessions that you offer, where did you kind of know that you wanted to do that? How did that fall in your lap?
Well, my whole journey actually started with a life coach.
Okay.
So we can actually start actually
yeah, totally.
In back in high school and heading into university. I was in my second year of university, and like school is always fine, but I always felt like at certain areas, like I wasn't really learning because I wasn't interested in the material, and I wasn't hands-on with certain things. And for me, like I love connecting with people, and so being behind a book constantly and not having the chance to exercise who I was or what I could do really started to get on me.
Totally.
So after 2 years of university, I actually fell into a pretty bad depression.
Okay.
And for me at that time, I, you know, was flunking classes. I was not showing up. I was sleeping all day, you know, couldn't get out of bed, that sort of thing. And so after a while, I one day woke up and said, you know, I want my life to change. I can't keep going down this path because there's really no future in this for me, and I'm not really following my heart. So I decided one day, you know, what was something that really set me on fire, set my soul on fire, really I was super passionate about at the time. And those things that I really played back in my mind were I love doing makeup.
Right.
I love being creative. I loved people. I love the idea of working on set and, you know, having an exciting lifestyle where it was like nothing was ever the same at work.
Right.
And so I ended up doing some research, and I ended up packing up my suitcase and my laptop and moving to Toronto.
Right. Okay. Crazy.
Where I went to makeup school out there. And I worked out there for about 3 years. And so during that time, I had a really fast-paced lifestyle. And then that whole thing started to come back at me again and be like, what am I doing? Is this really right for me? Does this feel right? And so after a while, I, you know, had worked in the industry, and I was kind of getting into that depression again, that state of mind. And I ended a long-term relationship, which
right.
I also moved out there for. And when I came back, I kind of started from scratch again.
Oh my goodness.
It was like a whole new beginning for me. And I kind of hit rock bottom at that time, I would say, for myself, moving back in with your parents.
And, totally.
And like, I sold my car to go to Toronto. I didn't have a car to get around. I felt like honestly, I felt like a loser for okay. a really long time. And that, I okay. think, drove me to want to change my life right. and, you know, actually make something of myself in Winnipeg, because it was so hard to get a really good start here because industries are so tiny.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially in what I was educated in, it was very difficult here because movies didn't come around all the right. time. And so I decided to go back to school. And at that time, I was still just trying to figure out, like, what's my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing? And at that time, one of my friends, her close friend, was becoming a coach. And so she needed hours and somebody to practice with to be able to get her certification.
Right.
So I started with her. And it was just so crazy the way it worked out, is because she needed hours. I needed life support.
Help. Yeah, for sure.
I needed yeah. help in my life. And she was there to help me. And, like, I was a poor student, and okay. she was doing these sessions for free. And it just kind of, like, all worked out the way it was supposed to.
That's incredible.
And so through coaching with her, I really found major shifts and changes in my own abilities and my own, what's the word, like, my own mindset.
Okay.
Right? Like, for my sure. mindset changed so much from thinking that the world was against me
yeah.
to I was able to create anything I wanted in this world.
Incredible.
So that's kind of where the coaching started from. And so because it was such a huge factor in my life, I wanted to be able to help other people. And so a few years ago, I went out and got my coaching okay. certification, and I just continuously did self-development courses and wanted to help others see what was possible in their own lives.
Right. That's incredible. That's yeah. so awesome. I was listening to a podcast that you did with Johanna and Quentin.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
And I know that you kind of explained a little bit of your story, like moving to Toronto and then yes. coming back, and that it was like a little bit challenging for you. So, and were you supported during that whole time? Like, your family, like, was your friend supportive? Like, did they kind of have this expectation of you to do this sort of thing?
Yeah. Like, at the time, my friends always knew that was something I was very talented at. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of expected that of me at one point. But for my family, it was not a good situation, because okay. my family always wanted me to become a professional, a doctor, a lawyer. And right. those things are great, but it's not for everybody. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be everyone's passion. And that's why we're all unique and all different, is because we all have different abilities and things that we're good at in life.
Yeah, completely.
So, yeah, my parents, it was really tough when I decided to do that and follow my own needs right. and wants. Mm-hmm. And it actually turned out in the end much better to follow totally. Myself and my own inner guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's so interesting to see, like, people who are so, they feel so locked in by, like, the expectations of others.
Oh, completely.
And their parents.
Yeah.
Their parents is a big one. Like, yeah. everyone wants to please their parents. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the end of the day, only you know what's best for you.
Completely.
Like, your parents want to know what's best for you. And they want to, like, you know, tell you what to do and help guide you. And, yes, parents should be there to help guide. But at the end of the day, you need to listen to what's best for you.
Yeah. And, like, if you're not happy doing the thing that they wanted you to do, then, like, you're not being fulfilled.
Exactly.
So working in the beauty industry has its limits, I find. So how did you develop this business and push past those limits of being an esthetician or being, like, I guess, opening a salon?
Mm-hmm. Like, you mean in terms of the education portion or just the business portion of it?
So basically, like, when I look at a salon, there's, like, brow, waxing, hair, mm-hmm. makeup. Like, there's so many things that you can purchase in, like, a salon.
Yes.
How are you able to kind of just focus on just brows?
So I forget where I learned this, but I learned that if you specialize and you become the best at one thing and you focus and you become really good at it, that's what's going to make you stand out from everybody else, because everyone can do everything, right?
Right.
Like, you know, you can open a salon and have 1,000 different services, but you kind of just, like, fall into, like, the mediocrity of everything.
Okay.
When you think about Starbucks, what did they do really well? Coffee.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
When
sure.
you think about, you know, all those major companies, they do one thing, they do it really well. Mm-hmm. Apple.
Yeah.
They do computers or technology really
for
well.
Sure.
Right? Like, so they focus in one area. And so that's where I wanted to take something so specialized and so underrated, like brow shaping, because brows are probably one of the most important features on a face.
Okay.
They help us recognize expression. They help us look, you know, more proportionate. They can make you look younger. They can make you look actually thinner too, which is crazy.
Wow.
And so if they're properly proportioned on your face and they frame your eyes properly, everything else just looks more balanced.
Okay.
So people were not really focusing on the importance of them because they didn't know, they weren't educated in it. And so coming from a makeup background where we study faces and we study how to mold and how to, you know, create proportion and balance in a face, I just realized that the eyebrows were so important and no one was like putting much attention into them.
Right.
So getting all the education I needed behind that, and in every single service that we offer, they specialize around the face.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's why I decided to go that route. And that's why people really trust Brows by G with everything on their face,
totally.
Is because we do it all day, every day. It's not just something we do once a week or maybe like once every few days. It's like constant every single day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in an article that you were interviewed for, you mentioned that you wanted to create a service that the client was part of the experience.
Yes.
And that's so like authentic. I feel like that's really rare in any esthetician work. Even if like I go into a hair appointment, I'm just like, I just sit back and I have no idea what's going on. So what was your ultimate goal with that?
I just had a really bad experience when I was going to a salon or a shop where I was getting my brows done, where they just kind of lay you back, do their thing, and then you don't know what's going to happen to your face. And I never wanted people to have that fear with what we did.
Right.
I wanted them to be part of the process. And so that's where our signature mapping comes into play, where we actually draw on the lines just to show you what we're going to keep and what we're going to remove so that you're part of the process.
Okay.
And so I wanted clients to feel confident in it. I wanted them to understand, you know, the reasoning behind what we were doing during the procedure and process, and that they were part of it every single step of the way, because ultimately it's your face.
Totally.
You know what you want that's best for you, and you know how you want to look, and we're just that tool and that vehicle to make it come to life.
Okay, amazing. And also you have an annual cancer event that you put on, which is incredible. So is it like a single day that people come in?
Okay. It's once a year. We usually do it in December. That actually started because one of my clients passed away from cancer.
Okay.
And so I just like felt helpless at the time because we had become really close. And I'm like, well, how can I like make a change? How can I make a difference? And, you know, of course, if I could give services away to every single person who has gone through cancer, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wouldn't have a business.
Totally.
You know what I
mean?
So my husband and I sat down and said, okay, well, what can we do that can make an impact but yet wouldn't hurt the business long term, right? And so for us, we said, okay, let's do a full day where every single one of our artists donates a service of their choice to a survivor. And so we have the women come in, we pamper them, we give them like a bunch of like food and treats and snacks, and then at the end we give them these swag bags with like tons of local business items and services. And it's just like a really nice way for them to feel like that chapter of their life has closed and they can now move on and get a piece of themselves back that they've lost.
That's incredible. Because I was reading about that and I just couldn't believe. All right, we're just going to take a little bit of a break, play some music. So up next is a track by Bibio from the album Ambivalence Avenue. Here is Lover's Carvings. Welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in now, I am joined here today with Giovanna Manena, creator of Brows by G and life coach. Thank you so much for being here again, Giovanna.
Thank you again for having me.
Of course. So I just wanted to get into more bigger concepts that you have discussed on your blog with any talks that you've given, because I feel like you have a huge impact on altering people's mindsets and changing perspectives. So to start, the concept of manifestation you've talked about so often. Are you able to just define that for us?
Yes. Yeah. See, I feel like manifestation means different things to different people.
Totally.
I'll kind of explain from my lens what I think manifestation is. It's, for me, it's not something that I just like hope and wish for and then like it's going to show up on my front doorstep. For me, manifestation is like truly putting into like consciousness or the universe, whatever you want to call it, your deepest desires. So what do you want more of in your life? Mm-hmm. And so that could be money. That could be love. That could be health. It could be anything you want. But every single moment in life starts with a thought. Okay. And so when we put our focus and our attention on our thoughts and our patterns, that is what I think comes into fruition in reality,
right,
in this life.
Yep.
So in a physical form, you could
say.
So for me, manifestation is super powerful because when you learn how to access that part of yourself and when you want what you want for the greater good of everything around you, I think it shows up for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Completely.
Like if there's a reason why or your deepest desires, like you want to attract that so badly, that's manifestation. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like, it is about sitting back and waiting for it, but it's not about sitting back and waiting for it and trying to figure out how it's going to come to you.
Right, right.
Right. So many people focus on like, okay, well, it could come to me this way or that way. You just got to like let it happen.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to be active in pursuing
totally
what you want.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
So there's a balance between, okay, yes, I want to work towards this and every day I'm going to do something little to help get me one step closer, but I'm also not going to try to like figure it out and force it, because if you keep forcing it, it's never going to happen. You kind of have to relax into it and just like allow it to be.
Okay, like let it take its course.
Let it take, yeah.
So, and you mentioned in a podcast that you did with Johanna again, that brow extensions you had done for a bit and it was like didn't work out for you.
No, it
and
was awful.
And microblading just kind of like fell into your lap. Okay, so what kind of happened?
That's like a manifestation.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay.
So, because I had clients coming to me who had zero to no hair, I was like, well, I want to be able to help these people, but like, I literally can't do anything for you because you have no hair.
Right.
And so for me, I was like, okay, well, what's something I could give them? And eyebrow extensions were the first thing. And that's literally gluing little hairs onto the existing hairs and the skin, which obviously couldn't be good for you to glue something onto your skin. And then you couldn't like wash your face or sleep on it. And I had clients calling me like every other day, just being like, my like three hairs fell out. I need you to. And I was just losing my mind.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't do this. This is not sustainable.
Right.
This is me like proactively trying to like fix just problems constantly rather than me helping anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then scrap that. That was a huge investment that, again, you have to fail a couple times as an entrepreneur and you have to be okay with that. Scrap that idea. And so I was calling around. I was like, looking for maybe different courses. Maybe I was doing it wrong. Maybe there was something else. And I just thought to myself, I was like, what if there was a way, like we have realism tattoos. Like what if there was a way to that we could like tattoo realistic looking hairs on the skin? And so I was calling around and then I got on the phone with this woman and then she just told me about microblading.
What?
And I was like, is this a joke? Like I just, how did this all happen?
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because when I started my business, I was like, I want to be doing something that nobody else is doing right now. I want to find like something that is like a spark in the industry and like be the trailblazer with
it.
And so it was just so funny because when I went out to learn it, I just had that like tingly feeling inside of me, be like, this is going to be huge.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. It was just like, this is going to be big.
Yeah.
Make sure that you do this right. And so obviously there was a huge learning curve when I came back and I went and got more education in Europe and in the States. And I like worked with health inspectors and I really wanted to bring this to a new level of expertise.
Yeah.
And so it was just funny talking about manifestation. That is a form of manifestation in my life.
Totally. So. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So would you consider yourself like a spiritual or religious person? Like, do you think that ties anything or has anything to do with it?
Yeah, I would say I would consider myself spiritual. I mean, I pray, but that doesn't mean I go to church every Sunday, but I also have a connection to the universe and God, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I just don't put my belief system onto anybody else. I just lead by example of what feels right for me. And there's so many different teachings in Judaism and Buddhism and Taoism and like Hinduism that I love, that I kind of take bits and pieces from like even Native American culture.
Right.
And it's just like so magical, their connection with the earth and the ground. Yeah. And like, I want to incorporate that into my own. And if I limit myself by calling myself a specific religion, or mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not able to integrate those teachings or those practices into my daily life
and be open-minded.
Yes, exactly. And I want to be able to connect with every type of person. So totally. If there's something like within their religion that I connect to, that's already a human connection I can make.
Completely.
And finding common ground with people.
So talking some serious manifestation, your appearance on Dragon's Den yes. was incredible. I was watching your pitch and it was like amazing. I was like sweating. I'm like, oh my God, this is really happening. And you were so well spoken. Like you literally looked like you had done this a million times and you just didn't even care. But I'm assuming that's not what was going on in your head. How was that for you?
It was fantastic. And yeah. again, that was manifestation.
Okay.
When I was like, no joke, I think 12 years old, I like Dragon's Den started mm-hmm. to come out for the okay. first time. And I was like, I'm going to be on that show.
What?
I told my parents, I'm like, I'm going to be on that show. I don't know how or when. And I'm going to make a deal with Arlene. Oh, like I literally put it out there. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And like chills like run through yes. my body, because it's like whatever you truly want, if you put your mind to it, it will show up for yeah. you. But Dragon's Den was so interesting because they asked us to come onto the show. So they found us through an accelerator program that mm-hmm. we were a part of. And I was just like, at first I thought, I was like, is this some sort of like joke email? Right. Like, and then we figured out it was a real thing. Then we had 10 days to prepare. Well, everyone else had months. And so we flew out to Toronto. But before that, we did like at least a week of prep. And we had an incredible mentor. His name's Jeff. And he was the kind of the lead at Northforge at the time.
Okay,
and he drilled us like every question you could have thought of, or any doubt that an entrepreneur who is investing or a VC fund that would be investing would have in their mind about your business, you have to be able to answer with complete certainty. You have to know your numbers. You mm-hmm. have to think of the industry as a whole, and you have to know where you're going.
Totally.
Because so many companies that go on there have no idea where they're headed, and they just go to the investors and be like, tell me what to do. And they're like, no, mm-hmm. I want to see that you have a clear plan. And I think that's what really shocked and awed the investors or the Dragons at the time, is because we actually had direction. We knew our numbers. We've thought about the industry inside and out and mm-hmm. where we're going with it and what we want to do with it. And so that is huge. Knowing your plan. And once you have your plan in place, then you can allow the magic to happen.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. And so when you had time to kind of like talk about it with Scott, you guys like went to the back and you were just like, yes. what should we do? Because you had three offers, which is incredible.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I want someone that's going to be a team player.
Yes.
And I found that to be like incredibly humbling. Mm-hmm. So like, it must have been humbling for them, because you had the choice between the two women and then you went with Arlene.
Which is so hard, because like I really wanted both. Like I respect Manjeet and Arlene so much. Jim is super cool. I just don't think he would have truly understood the industry itself. And I'm sure he has people who would have understood. But like I said, I wanted somebody who would be really involved with what we were doing. And I think either one of those women would have been perfect. The only reason I went with Arlene, I wish they would have come together, but the only reason I went with Arlene over Manjeet was because I found that Arlene had some experience in the services industry before, whereas Manjeet only had in production and wholesaling.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, either way, it would have been an awesome choice.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so what kind of is the next steps that's going on with that?
So, interesting enough, we never really needed the investment in the mm-hmm. beginning. And so we went into Arlene's accelerator program. And so at the end of the day, I just found that for the amount of investment versus what I had to give up as an entrepreneur mm-hmm. just didn't even out to what felt right for me. So I decided to turn down the deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I respect her so much, and she's done amazing things. There just comes a point where you have to know your worth and your value
completely,
and keep pushing on that. And then I think, you know, even at a later date, if I choose to take up maybe a larger investment, that could be an option. But I think for right now, I really like the trajectory I'm on.
Well, that's great. Yeah. You're doing so well.
Thank you.
You have two locations currently, right?
Yes.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And you have the teaching technician across
Canada.
Yeah,
that's so crazy. And we have Bralex, which is now in I think, over 120 stores in Canada, and we're moving into the U.S.
No way.
So, yeah, it's becoming huge.
Good for you. That's you. Awesome. And so you also attended the G20 Young Entrepreneurs Alliance Summit in Berlin in 2017.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you were representing Manitoba,
yes,
correct?
Yeah.
How was that? Like, that's a lot of pressure.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah, okay.
So we had a lot of calls and things like that prior to just discussing. And really what it was is about youth making impact in on a global scale, right? So like, what kind of issues are we facing as entrepreneurs, like import fees, like doing business overseas, that really prevent us from succeeding because we have maybe limitations, right, or a language barrier, a culture barrier.
Okay.
So it was really, really eye-opening to me to be able to go into a room of people who are also doing similar things in different ways, because when we order, you know, products or need to research different things, it's usually not in Canada,
right,
that manufacture. We're usually looking at manufacturers and suppliers overseas. So understanding their culture, the way that it works. So
yes,
it was really eye-opening and fantastic. You know, I just kind of sat back and absorbed rather than really push out any of my ideas because I'm still learning.
Totally.
Right?
Totally. And there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So there was also an article that you were featured in, sponsored by BMO in The National, and it was the She's Empowered kind of segment. And so, like, were you kind of prepped on this interview? Like, did they approach you at all to be like, you're a very strong female entrepreneur?
I think that they just looked at my achievements overall and wanted to get to know me a little bit better, especially coming from Winnipeg and being a female entrepreneur in a very difficult industry,
yes,
was something that they were looking at, and having so much growth in such a small amount of time,
mm-hmm,
was specifically what they were focused on. I was given the BMO Women in Business, I guess, Small Business Award, like at their Honoring Women in Business event. And actually, that was a complete surprise. They like surprised me with it.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so amazing because if you create good foundational relationships with the institutions and the people that are helping you, and everything that you're doing is coming from a place of like authenticity, mm-hmm, and vulnerability and light and wanting to do good for other people, it's amazing what comes back to you.
Totally.
Like, yeah, I didn't expect half the stuff that I've received in my life, but I'm so grateful for it. And I think it comes full circle,
yeah,
eventually.
Yeah, okay, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that I wanted to discuss is the idea of imposter syndrome.
Oh, yes.
So, like, I obviously struggle with that. Like, even having this show, I'm just like, who am I to even, like, ask people about their hopes and dreams and, like, kind of maybe offer an insight to my listeners?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you, like, overcome something like that, or how do you kind of, like, attack that?
Oh, idea. Imposter syndrome happens probably on a daily basis for, I think, entrepreneurs and for me especially, right? And it doesn't matter what you've accomplished in your life. Like, you're always fighting to do more or be more, outdo yourself last time.
Right.
So when it comes to imposter syndrome, like, I say fear is a liar.
Okay.
And it's a quote. I don't know who said it, but fear is a liar. And so whenever you are fearful or something's like preventing you from doing something you really want to do or think that you're not good enough, who else is going to do it if you don't?
Yeah.
Right? Like, who else is going to step into that or say that thing or stand up for this thing if you don't?
Right.
So you only have one life.
Mm-hmm.
You only have one chance at, you know, experiencing life on this level.
Right.
Why are people so afraid to take hold of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah.
Like, and it's like, if, and that fear and that like self-worth creeps in so much, I think for women especially, because there's so much pressure on us.
Totally.
I can't speak for men. I'm not one.
Yeah.
So, but I know like it's there too, but in a different way. But I love how much women empowerment and women have been standing up for the things that are so meaningful to us,
mm-hmm,
and humanity in general. And so when we think of imposter syndrome, like especially when it happens to me, I need something to trigger me or get me out of that mindset. And for myself, it's usually like using meditation or talking to my, mm-hmm, partner, somebody who's positive and uplifting, who will help snap me out of that like negative,
yes,
like
cycle
exactly,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
my head. So it's all about practicing,
yes,
and that's why it's called a practice, to,
okay,
get you out of that mindset, because it's constantly going to be there, and if you succumb to it, it gets stronger.
Okay.
So it's like good wolf, bad wolf. Which one are you going to feed?
Exactly.
Right?
So totally. Yeah. So even being like a female entrepreneur, have you ever had like setbacks of other people being like, who are you to have this business? Or like, who are you to be like this strong of a person?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I think it's just so funny. The things that people will say when they assume that they know you or, you know, you hear people saying like, oh, she was given everything.
Right.
When it was like, oh, no, actually, like I got nothing. And I had to actually take out tons of loans and like put everything on the line.
Yeah.
Because
I
invested in myself, you know, and there's some people who actually think like my husband's a doctor and he's not because his Instagram handle is like,
oh,
Dr.
Really?
Scotty.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, he's a doctor, so that's why she can do this.
Oh,
he's
gosh.
Actually not. He's an entrepreneur, too, and he's doing a startup right now. So people always assume, like, oh, she's rich or she has it. And it's like, no, that's my, like, the business's money is not my money.
Yeah.
And I actually take zero out of the business because I want to reinvest it. So it's always going to be there and people are always going to talk, but you have to be so confident in who you are and what you're doing and remember why you started in the first place, because those types of people are not even your clients or your friends or anyone that matters in your life anyways.
Yeah.
So you want to put your attention and energy into the percentage of people who are there listening and wanting to be there and who are supporting you.
So do you have any, like, if you could break it down into maybe like 5 steps, like how would you, for someone that's kind of lost and they want to pursue like a career or like go into a program for school, how would you kind of give them like steps, I
guidance?
Guess, if you will? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know if I have exact steps, I can give some tips.
Okay.
So one thing that really helped me was taking a step back. So I know travel isn't possible for everyone, but I think like taking a week or two to just like sit in the idea of what you want to do, because so many people rush into school or they rush into a program and they think they know what they're getting themselves into. And then by halfway through the program, they're like, why did I decide to do this? So take your time to research and really do the work in understanding every single angle and aspect of what you want to go into.
Right.
Talk to somebody who is in it and who's been doing it for years. Like, what's the lifestyle like? Like, what's my day-to-day going to look like? What are the sacrifices I have to make? What, you know, is what kind of financial gain am I potentially looking at receiving? Because everything's different,
totally.
From person to person or from industry to industry. So really doing your research and sitting down and then, honestly, like taking the time to follow what you believe is best for you, because your parents will tell you to go into a program. You know, your friends will tell you to do this, but you have to actually sit back and you know yourself better than anyone else knows you. So listen to that inner voice, listen to that highest part of yourself and ask yourself why you want to do it.
For sure.
Because once you know your why, like, oh, I want to go into this because of this, or I want to change the world and this is my vehicle to do so. What's your why? And then whenever times get really tough in that position or when you want to give up, you come back to that and you're like, no, this is like why I started.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
And on your blog, you kind of offer these 5 mindset techniques that I thought were really, really awesome. And I've used, like, I find myself using actually some of them. Like, I find my favorite one is like getting creative or like helping others. You don't even realize, like, when you're like going out there and helping somebody else, like, I suffer from a little bit of anxiety. And I found that therapy is awesome. Like, everyone should have a therapist, but I found my greatest gain into like improving my mindset was helping other people. And that can be in like the smallest way possible. Like, you've talked about holding space for people and just not pushing your thoughts on them and just giving them the opportunity to like just talk and like get into like a deep conversation, and that can be more fulfilling than like
well, everyone wants to offer solutions.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, everyone wants to tell you what to do or how to do it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, sometimes people just need to like hear themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you just have to be there to support them and
right.
just keep asking questions and getting curious. Like, how often is it that we continue the conversation about the person who's sitting across from you? So many times when somebody says something, it triggers your own personal experience and you want to talk about you.
Yes.
But how many times do people take time and just question and go deeper with that person and focus just on them and their situation and make it all about them? It is so nice to sit with somebody who just allows you that space
completely
to just, you know, like, let you talk and not have to hear their side of the story because you're going through so much. So that in itself is giving your time.
Yes.
To allow that person that space.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I think true friendship is. Yeah. Like when you can sit down with somebody and they can give you that space to just talk and then you can repay the favor.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that, I guess, it aligns because you talk a lot about like your values. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing something that aligns or doesn't align with your values, like that's not work. Like it's just not what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. So along with your values, like you, what would you say that you value the most in your
freedom? Time.
Freedom. Hey, yeah.
And I do it in some of my workshops. I'll do a value exercise and I basically make them write down like 10 values that speak to them. And by the end of like 3 minutes, they have to bring it down to 3 core values.
Wow.
So like a lot of the times it's family for people or it's legacy, or for me it's freedom and time and compassion. And so as whatever I'm doing, it has my values need to be integrated into
right.
that, right?
Okay.
Like with any business I start, I need to be able to have freedom. I need to be able to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
I need my time to be valued, right? And that can be financial gain. That can be valued in what I'm doing and loving what I'm doing.
Right.
So those core values are huge in what you choose to do in everyday life and the choices that you make.
Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of people like, when they're choosing either like a career, for me, I think career is like the hardest thing right now. Like I know that I'm bringing it back to like what I'm experiencing, but mm-hmm. hopefully it helps somebody else. When I'm focusing on career, I'm like afraid to tell somebody else what I'm doing because I feel like I'm being judged all the time. Like they're like, oh, you did a psych degree, but like what's next? And I'm like, but that's like, I've gained values in my psych degree.
Absolutely.
That I'm not just theory, but like things that I've learned along the way. And I think that it's incredibly important to put into practice. Like if you do things along with your values and like you'll be successful or like fulfilled.
Well, you chose psych for a reason.
Exactly.
In the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And so everything is a building block to mm-hmm. something greater and bigger that you're
right.
going to be continuously doing throughout your life. And you're going to come back and be able to use those skill sets at a later date. So with people, with interviewing, with whatever you're doing,
mm-hmm.
those are all valuable. It's so funny when people think it's a waste.
Yes.
Because they chose to, you know, go a completely different route in their mm-hmm. career or in their education. But at the end of the day, nothing goes to waste because we're constantly mm-hmm. learning. There's never a day that goes by that you shouldn't not be learning something.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, 100%. So.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in like in that podcast that you did with Johanna and Quentin, because Quentin was asking you questions about his job because he has like a desk job, like a 9-to-5 at a bank. And he found that he was like kind of wasting his time, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But and you were just explaining that it's like those type of jobs, those type of experiences, whether it be at a job 9-to-5 or being at school every single day, it's like more or less like a stepping stone to like the
yes.
bigger thing that you want to be,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And I think that was really awesome. Like
it's
so humbling to like the amount of self-awareness that you have is like incredible.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
I feel like you can just definitely read a room.
Oh man. You know, it's practice.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that,
because
it's nice to like hear that from people.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I truly love connecting with people on a soul level.
Yeah.
Like it's really hard for me to sometimes go to networking events and talk about surface level stuff
yeah.
when I really want to get into these
totally.
Types of conversations with people. And I think within like the first 5 minutes of meeting somebody and having a conversation,
mm-hmm.
I can truly understand what's going on in their lives and like pick up on certain things or, you know, stories that they keep telling themselves
right.
or their belief system.
Yes.
And I do it.
Yeah.
Everyone does it. But it's so interesting that I believe that's my gift with people
yeah,
is understanding
for sure.
them on that deeper level. And
yeah.
I think that's why I love coaching so much
mm-hmm.
is because I can identify that and go deeper and help them realize that pattern so that they can choose whether or not they want to change it.
Yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. And sorry, how long have you been doing coaching for?
Ooh, and now I've probably been doing it for about 5 years, but
okay.
not full time.
Okay.
Like I have other businesses that I'm running
totally.
And it's really just a hobby and a love for me on the
Good.
Side. And if it turns into like I said, if it turns
mm-hmm.
into something more later on, I have
yeah.
those experiences.
So how do you keep up with like what you teach your clients all the time? Like how do you kind of stay educated with that kind of thing?
Well, there's always online courses, there's
okay.
seminars, there's like in-person courses. So we, not only myself, but I also send my artists out
Amazing.
Every year to continue their education.
Yeah.
Continuing education is so important because with the rate at which things change in our day and age and how fast technology moves and the way that people are developing new things,
yeah.
you have to be on top
Completely.
Of everything in
yeah.
every single area of your
mm-hmm.
business. So if you're not constantly learning, like I take at least half an hour a day to like understand what's going on in every industry that
wow.
I'm in.
That's mm-hmm. incredible. Yeah. So busy. I don't even want to see your agenda because it would just give me a heart attack.
It's fun. You got to love what you do because or else it'll overcome you.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And you just wrote a recent blog post about like investing in yourself.
Yes.
Can you kind of expand on that? Like I found it really, really incredible. And like
this is like
admirable.
Probably one of like the things that makes me so angry when people come to me and they say like, oh, I can't do that because I can't afford it.
Oh my goodness.
When people say I can't afford it, I'm like, please don't talk to me because you're going to like set me off right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have to learn how to control that side of me. But really, when you think about it, you can afford anything you want. At the end of the day, what is most important, I think, in life is investing in yourself, is educating, spending the money on that course, spending the money on the workshop. You know, if it's something that really speaks to you and that you think that you can take something away, as long as you know that there's takeaways and that you can start to integrate what you've been taught in your life, it's so valuable.
Totally.
Because you're learning from people who have experienced things in their own lives, in their own businesses, in the industry that they're in, that you might not know because you haven't done it yet, or you're just starting out, or maybe different ways of thinking about certain things. So you're never not going to take anything away from it. And you have to always go into these things with like an open mind. But I always say like you should constantly be educating yourself in some capacity. And you can get books from the library that are free.
Exactly.
Like it doesn't have to always cost you something. So like constantly educating yourself, you can find a mentor who will give you their time for free, but you have to learn how to respect their time and how to show up to a mentor meeting and, you know, constantly be learning, right?
Yeah.
Find somebody who's learning how to be a coach.
Totally.
And get some free coaching, you know, practice with them. Do anything you want to do. And I always love telling people this, like invest in yourself in any capacity because that will never ever lead you down a wrong path and you might find something that you never knew you loved.
Yeah. Just fall in your lap.
Yes.
Like you, again,
exactly.
Manifestation.
Yeah.
So in one of your YouTube videos regarding the quarter life crisis, I found it so funny and so interesting. You kind of give three steps to overcome that. So can you just introduce like what you think a quarter life crisis would be?
Oh my gosh. It's like when you hit 25 and you feel like your life isn't put together yet and maybe you're still living at home or you're not in the job that you want to be or people are getting married around you or having kids and like you're like what does my life look like?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, a quarter life crisis is like that state of being where you're like, am I doing the right thing? Is it right on time? And it's really to kind of take a step back and realize that everyone's on their own journey.
Right. Totally. And you kind of give three steps to overcome that. So the first one I was a little bit confused by.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called break the expectation. And you said, don't do what you love. So I was like, wait, I thought I had to do what I love. Like, what did you kind of mean by that?
It just means it's going to get you out of the box of doing things that you wouldn't otherwise think of doing. Because so many times we like put these unrealistic thoughts on certain things that you're like, oh, I wouldn't like doing that, or that's not something I'm interested in doing. But then you try it and you're like, oh,
yeah,
I didn't know I'd actually like doing this, or I didn't know that this was something that spoke to me or that I could see myself doing. And so it's a way to help break you out of your pattern and cycle of the things that you feel really safe doing.
Totally.
And get you out of the box.
Yeah, just like widening your horizon a little bit.
Yes.
And the next one was define your values. So we kind of like talked about that, like just like money, freedom, helping other people.
Yes.
And the last one is just start. And I think that might be the hardest thing for people. And I know that Johanna has done like a lot of goal setting like workshops.
Yes.
And a lot of it is like saying it out loud or like writing it down. So how would you kind of just say like just start doing things?
It's literally just taking the smallest step towards anything, like emailing a certain person or getting yourself out of the house or whatever the smallest little step is that you need to take, just take it. Because we can sit back and wait till everything's perfect to start, but then you're still not getting any further ahead, right? Like everything can be perfect. You can have a perfect idea, but you haven't tested the idea yet, right? And you won't know how it's going to take unless you do it.
Exactly.
So just getting out and doing it, and especially with goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
Saying out loud is really important, writing it down, but then also understanding how you want to feel when you've reached that goal. Like, you know, when you are writing down things like, I feel ambitious and accomplished and empowered when I do this, or I feel love and affection and da-da-da when I do that. So you have to put your feeling into it, because when you connect feeling, mind, body, soul mm-hmm. into what you want to do, that's when it starts to come and happen and start to, I guess, come into fruition.
Totally. And like, for me, at least I want to feel those feelings again, right? So yes. it kind of pushes me further. Whereas like, that's the ultimate goal, to like have this amazing feeling of doing something good. Mm-hmm. And like, just, I don't know, I find it's more reward than just like reaching a certain like maybe financial goal. But yes. like, I don't know, I guess everyone
has different
goals. But once
you reach that goal, yeah. everyone wants to keep going.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
it's like, well, okay, what's the point of just having like a specific goal
right.
when it's like, well, how do you want to feel constantly? And if you chase growth over goals, that's when power happens, right? Like
yeah.
when you're growing constantly and you want to see your growth happen mm-hmm. exponentially, that's when you continue to like reach those specific goals
right.
along the way, but they're not the end all be all.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
There's always room for improvement.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's all the time that we have.
I love it. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for being here. I've already learned so much.
Oh.
So is there any way that our listeners can get a hold of you or kind of learn more about your services?
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at Giovanna Minetta. My website is linked there too, giovannaminetta.com. My companies are Brows by G, Brow Lux, and those can be found again through my handle.
Perfect.
And really, like, the best way, if you have questions or anything like that, is send me an email mm-hmm. Or a DM on Instagram.
Perfect.
I'll do my best. I do get a lot, so I will
yes.
do my best to get back to everybody. And yeah.
Awesome. And I'll link everything in this episode, so it's perfect.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so
much. Thank you,
guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of Turning Heads right here on UMFM 101.5. Up next is a song by Winnipeg Boro Brand, The Brothers Landreth, from the album Let It Lie. Here is Tapping on the Glass.
Lay it on the line till there's a kink in my spine.